Well, hello and welcome to What's Brewing CISFA? What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarrow, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana.
All right. So, what are you drinking this morning?
I've got my sparkling water. One could say that it has bubbles in it or is bubbly, but that would be very brand specific, isn't it?
Well, you said sparkling, so
sparkling water.
Uh-huh.
This is the lime, not lemon lime, but lime. Because they have a separate lemon. Yeah, they have a separate lemon.
Okay.
I think they've got like four flavors in this brand, and I bought all four of them. I started with the dark berry one. Uh-huh. One. Yeah. I've got the lemon, the lime, and I've got the cherry one too. And I've tried that.
Oh, okay.
So I think this is the first lemon limey one that I've tried. So, or the first lime one I've tried.
Do you have a favorite so far?
Not really. Okay. Not yet. I mean, maybe it's too early to tell. That and when they say that there's like a hint of flavor, they're right. There's just that hint of flavor.
Okay, and that's all you need, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be good for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope, right? I haven't decided yet. I don't know. I guess, if it keeps me from drinking carbonated sodas, all the better.
Okay.
And what are you having this morning?
This morning, I have my mint tea. So I like to brew my mint tea, usually with mint leaves.
Okay.
But I ran out. Daggone it.
Wait, you're out of the mint leaves? Oh no.
Yeah. So today is just the tea bags, and everybody listening, I like to use two tea bags.
You like your tea intense.
Strong. Oh yeah, I do. With a couple of shots of, peppermint syrup.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it really minty.
Now, does the peppermint syrup also make it very sweet, or do you have to control for that?
Yeah, no, it is sweet. So I think what I'm going to start doing is buying sugar-free.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, that's my go-to in the morning.
I would think that's pretty good because, for you and all, because I would think mint would be kind of an awakening thing.
Yeah, it does. It makes me feel refreshed, and it helps me, ease into my day for sure.
Yeah, especially after probably like me, you're only up a matter of like 15 minutes ago. And so I'm like, oh, I got to get up.
You know what? Surprisingly, though, I got up around 7. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
that kind of was that was my goal.
Because I have a feeling, we're going to probably be going back sooner than later. So
that's true.
Trying to reacclimate myself to, instead of getting up that 5 minutes before I have to log on, rolling out of bed.
Yeah.
Can't do that, when it's time to go back. So.
That is probably going to be the biggest adjustment for most people, I think,
mm-hmm.
including me, because, I've also, it's definitely been a case of to get to work, if I go to campus, I'd have to get up around 7.
Yep.
Take care of everything, shower and everything out, and leave by about 7:30. And that assumes that I want to get to campus just a few minutes before 8. Mm-hmm. And at least when the cafeteria was open, pick up some food on campus so I can support our cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
Walk over to the office, and I'll get there by 8. If I pick up breakfast along the way, I got to add a few extra minutes. But I don't think that calendar or net timetable has really worked that well, except for the fact that, again, recording the pods twice a week at 8 o'clock kind of ensures that I'm up before 8 o'clock twice a week. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I tend to do a little time shifting. Like last night, I was doing work on the computer till, well, let's just say past 12, but not quite past 1. And the reason it took longer than expected was I was having problems with the internet yesterday, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I couldn't get to all the websites during as we were doing the first day of our meeting that I wanted to. But when I got home, because I left yesterday, go eat, meet some friends quickly, I saw that I had an update for software. So I assumed, okay, maybe there was something with the software these days on the Macs. The Big Sur had to be updated to 11.4. And that update took like an hour. So it took a lot longer than expected. Otherwise, I would have been in bed an hour earlier.
All right.
But everything seems to be running well because...
That's good.
You know, what today's show is all about is talking about what we're in the middle of right now, which is our annual, in a sense, CISFA Executive Board Transition Meeting. So this is where we get a three-day meeting instead of a two-day meeting, kind of to cover everything. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, Dana, was the what we call the FARR, F-A-R-R portion. And do you know what F-A-R-R stands for?
Is it short for Ferrari?
Oh, I wish, right? Or Farrah Fawcett. Or Lou Ferrigno. No, no. It's
not. Oh, okay.
It was close.
Hulk. Yeah. All right, Hulk.
Mm-hmm. No, so the first day is the financial aid regional reps meeting portion. Okay. So what that means is, CISFA, as the Financial Aid Association for the Community Colleges here in California, partners with the state's system office, also known as the California Community Colleges Chancellor's Office. And we partner with them always for our meetings because, in a sense, how we support ourselves and all is, in a sense, by making sure that we have an advisory group or a consultative group with the Chancellor's Office on financial aid matters. So in a sense, we give them always day one of the meeting, and we call that the financial aid regional reps because as part of our executive board, it's not just presidents and vice presidents and secretaries and all that. We have regional reps from across the state, at least one per region, and there's 10 regions who sit on the board. So they're elected, in a sense, by their regions. And then, in a sense, on the Monday or the first day of the meeting, they always do all the listening and responding to things going on across the state that our state system office wants us to know about. So, in a sense, they kind of have a dual function. They're both part of exec board, and in a sense, they serve as this consultative body to the state. So, and then what will normally happen is most of the regional reps will set up regional meetings with their other financial aid folks in their region sometime after every exec board meeting because there may be things that our state system office wants us to take back to the field, you know, and get some input or, you know, get some extra help on things. So that's what we did yesterday, Dana. Lots of fun always.
Now, does this last all day?
When we're in person, it would normally because we'd go somewhere. We'd go to Sacramento as a group and meet. We would go occasionally to somewhere in Southern California or Monterey or such. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, at least one of our exec board meetings in the year is held at the same hotel that we have our conference, usually like the meeting right before. Because we do quarterly meetings, and we try to do that one right before our conference at the hotel so everyone can kind of see the place. But because we've been meeting remotely, no, it doesn't take a whole day anymore. It's amazing how much more efficient you can be and how much more efficient people want to be when they're not, you know, in a hotel and all that.
Right, when they're not in person,
So, no, it takes us about half a day. I think we were done before 1 o'clock.
Wow.
And we only started 9 because, again, like most organizations, at least in financial aid or student services, there's really not a big need to get up at 8 and get your meeting going. So we've been we went about 9 to 1 yesterday, got through everything.
Okay, and you guys kept the shenanigans down, I'm sure.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, good.
I mean, and there was always opportunity to have some.
You know, I was since it's going to be, because you mentioned it's going to be over the course of 3 days, right?
Yes.
So it, possibly the last day, I have a feeling, you know, some shenanigans might go down.
Well, that's very possible for a couple different reasons. Now, day one, FAR meeting, mostly ran by our chancellor's office staff. Day two of the meeting is our regular meeting. So that's today. So today is really my part of the meeting. I'm the current president. I put them through the paces on a regular meeting schedule. And again, though, I do think it will be done early. But tomorrow, because again, we only do this once a year, we're doing the transition of the outgoing board to the incoming board. So now I'm still staying on. Of course, I go from president to past president. So I've got already a job lined up for next year. but our past president, he moves on. Our past treasurer will move on. Okay. And so whoever's behind them, or secretary, you know, new secretary, new vice president of state issues or federal issues, they'll all, you know, transition out and someone else new comes in. So our idea of the third day always is, of course, the incoming president, Anna Faye, this time, will, you know, put together her agenda as far as what she'd like to maybe do for the coming year. Have the people on the board break out like we've done before and talk to their successors. So they have a good idea what's expected of them, especially for positions that may only be a 1 year or 2 year commitment. Like secretary is a 1 year commitment. The vice president of federal issues, the vice president of state issues, those are 2 year commitments, but they, you know, flip flop on different years. So that the idea is, come our July meeting, all the new board members are ready to go.
Okay.
So yes, when you talk shenanigans, it's more likely the last day, because we've done a variety of things. I don't know if you remember Calvin from L.A. City College.
Yes, I do.
Retired and into the world of regular things. Good for him. After, of course, I think he went on like a long camping expedition, something like that. He went off to the woods for a while and reacclimated with the world.
Yes.
But when he did his... when he was president, he brought in for his transition meeting one of our fellow financial aid managers here in the district to do kind of like a personal development, developmental kind of workshop thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
And so I don't know what Anna Faye is doing tomorrow, but at least for today, mine is more of a straight-laced get the business done kind of meeting.
And it was,
I know.
Oh man.
Well, and the first thing we're going to lead off with today at 9 o'clock, because of scheduling time is always, we're meeting with our California Student Aid Commission people.
Nice.
We always invite them to the meetings because they always have, again, there's always things to be updated on what's going on in CSAC. So hopefully they'll talk to us about what we've talked about over recent episodes, you know, updates to web grants for institutions, their website, through their grant delivery system modernization project.
So, and have you logged on and seen the new format?
No, I haven't actually.
It's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm gonna pass those words along.
Yeah, and the I feel like it's a more user friendly, like the interface is way better now.
Well, they, you know, this project's been going on for a number of years. And
yeah, because I remember when they first announced it several years ago.
Right. And so as people have heard on the show, Web Grants is a website. It's ran by the California Student Aid Commission. There's a website for students and then there's a website for financial aid professionals. And the whole idea is it's where we interact to do our business. So for students, you know, they complete their federal aid form, or for our dreamers, they complete their California Dream Act. And then for Cal Grant specifically, because they use the results of those forms, the student sets up and creates themselves a Web Grants account. And they then can kind of manage all their stuff regarding Cal Grant eligibility. You know, if they're going to initially on the FAFSA, they said they were going to go to LA City College, and now they're going to go to LA Mission College, then they can make that kind of change on Web Grants for students. Mm-hmm. And then Web Grants for institutions, well, you've used that probably the most, Dana, of most of the people in our office. Mm-hmm. That's where we can see who's on our roster. We should have a FAFSA for them or a Dream Act application. We can process them for Cal Grant. We also do Chafee grants through that. Right.
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Anything else we do through that?
You already mentioned Dream Act. Yes.
Yeah, the Dream Act students too. So we can handle all that processing right through that website. And as Dana is saying, it is all fancy now.
It is. And even on the student side too, I've had an opportunity to see it on their end as well. And like I said, you know, comparing it to the old system, I think it's a lot more user-friendly. Mm-hmm. And then just even visually, it looks a little bit better. Not a little bit better. It looks better.
A lot better. Well, this is a top-down, bottom-up kind of update, is my understanding is, to the website. So even the back house stuff is all been cleaned up because, you know how it is sometimes. You're trying to run something off of Web Grants, and it's a little on the slow side, you know? Things happen as far as creating reports and all that. So that'll be our first thing we'll talk about at our meeting. But I'm going to save the rest of what we'll talk about here, Dana, till the second part of this show.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
I figured that was a good segue into our second part of the show.
Yeah.
So the whole lead up here was the first part of our exec board meeting. We have the CSAC crew coming out to talk to us, and then we'll get into the meat of our agenda for the day. Things like federal issues reports and state issues reporting. Well, we're going to do a recap of our conference, seeing that we got all the numbers in. And, we do all those kinds of things. We have a website, web oversight. That's the word. A report on how things are going on our website, a treasurer's report, all that good stuff that you'd have at a regular exec board meeting. So hopefully we'll be done with that meeting early too. I mean, that's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
So I can get some other work done. And then
absolutely.
The last part of our exec board meeting for this month will be tomorrow, and Anna Faye's transition meeting, where she can kind of take over and put together her perspective on where she'd like to take the organization in this coming year.
You know, Dennis, that's got to be a lot of pressure, right? Like,
to a point, yeah, surely. Yeah. You know, I mean, there'll be some. But, the good thing is, especially this year with Anna Faye coming in, again, she served as CISFA or CASFA president.
Well, then Anna Faye's not human.
Yeah, if people haven't been able to figure that out, we have a colleague which, if you've been watching the Ancient Aliens shows on History Channel, just might be. Because nobody quite gets as much done as she does.
She's of course, on that level.
And
you know, if you're listening, she needs to write a book on how she does this.
And I've been to her house before they moved to their new place. And again, very well organized. And again, she's that kind of person. And her husband is too, He's very very clean and organized to a house, well-ran life and all that. So I think that's where the two of them can get together on those kind of things.
Okay.
Never going to see a messy place. And so she does the same thing for, she did a great job at CASFA. I know she's got some ideas for CISFA for the coming year, in light of the idea of hopefully having a real in-person conference. So getting back to the kind of the way things were in the olden days. So I can't wait to see what she's planning to do.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear about it as well.
But, you know, this whole idea here, you know, as we talked about the meetings and such, which probably bores people who don't know a lot, we really want, for those who are out there in CISA world or aren't in our profession, to consider, you know, all the things you can do to stay involved in your profession. So for our financial aid folks, at least, we really want you to join CISA. You know, pay for your membership if you can. It's relatively small. I think we only charge $50 maybe. And normally if you go to the conference, it's part of your conference fee. But join CISA. And what does that mean? Well, you know, you could join on a committee. We got, right now we have 12 committees, down from 15 or 16. One of my goals last year at this time was to do a little reorganization of committees. So we'd had like a fund development, a fiscal control, and a treasurer's meet, you know, subcommittees. Well, they're all kind of the same. And they all sound like they all have some real well-appointed reasonings that exist. But I'm like, why don't we just have one committee that our treasurers can all sit on, along with others from the board, to look at, you know, not just fund development, but, you know, fiscal stability. So we did a little combination of that. We have a committee for awards because, as an association, we give out awards to our members and associated people. So, you know, we've got Lifetime Award. We have a Hall of Fame Award, special, you know, recognition. And so we did our award at the conference this year like we normally do, because we try to make decisions on awards in January, February for the conference in March. And so we got them all out the door. In fact, during my part of today's meeting, I have a picture from one of the former board members who retired, or I should say one of the chancellor's office staff who retired, who received an award this year and one last year. And because we didn't ship out the ones from last year, he got them both at the same time this year.
Awesome.
And since he's retired, he looks all comfortable sitting there with his two awards.
Two awards.
Yeah, so, you know, that's just another committee that we have. So join CISA, join a committee, possibly consider running for office. I mean, we have, again, presidents, treasurers, secretaries, vice presidents, web oversight committee we've always had sit on the board because of their work. You know, and again, it's a lot of fun. You get to meet people from across the state, even though we're meeting people virtually. Someday, again, we'll go back to meeting people in real life. Is that what IRL stands for, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to do the hip lingo thing, you know?
Yeah, uh-huh.
But, you know, you get to meet people. You get different perspectives on financial aid, especially not just urban-rural, but like big school, small school, and then just newer school, well-established school, well-established financial aid directors versus relatively new ones. But you get to see and meet a variety of people, get some different perspectives so that it's not always a case of, well, at my school, which is the easiest answer for all of us to answer, you know, well, at my school, we do it this way. Well, what if you saw a different perspective on it? So consider that. Run for office. We're always looking for good candidates. Now, we do have, of course, our exec board set up for the next cycle, but I will be working on this late into the fall to look for people to run for the next cycle. Dana, keep that in mind.
Dennis, if I serve on any committee, there will be a deficit.
Well, so you're not going to be on the, you're not allowed on the fiscal stability committee.
All right, there we go. Don't, I'm banned.
I don't have a fiscal instability committee. But, you know, think about it. You could help with our conference. You could be on the entertainment committee for that.
That sounds like I would run you guys.
I think you could do that. Because we usually, we keep a reasonable budget for that event. But
you said reasonable budget.
I know you're not used to that, but try, Dana, try if you can. But, you know, help with training events, help with our website. We can always use improvements there. But helping with conference is probably the biggest thing throughout the year.
Mm.
You know, helping put together presenters, presentations, when we do the event in person, logistics, signage, working with our sponsors and exhibitors. Again, we have an entertainment group alone because usually there's like a president's reception, which may be separate from a nighttime entertainment thing. So there's a lot of things you can do to get involved with our organization. And also for those, again, like I said, outside of the financial aid profession, you know, consider joining some other local group. You know, things like I have friends in the Kiwanis. You know, the Lions are out there somewhere. Hopefully not attacking the Kiwanis.
Oh, boy.
Or the Elk. But there's like Rotary. There's Optimus. I forgot what the name of the group is, Dana. I have wrote it down as Red Hat Ladies. But okay. there is some kind of group, and I think it's like a group of older ladies that might do some charitable work and such. Mm-hmm. But I'm taking that from the, I think it was the Red Tomato Hat. There was some goofy name they made up on The Simpsons when there was an episode. That much I'll say.
Okay.
But that's obviously a group for good, except for in The Simpsons they weren't. Who knew? Church groups, you know, that might mean more than just a choir, I assume, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. I know you're involved with your group, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah. Uh-huh. And like you said, we do a lot of, you know, missions stuff, mm-hmm. and community outreach. Oh, definitely.
So definitely consider that. PTA for those with kids in school, you know, join your parent teacher association, police oversight or other related community involvement things, including, you know, considering maybe running for local government. And you know how I learned about this all?
How'd you learn?
I learned through a thing called Badger Boys.
Badger Boys. Okay, what is a Badger Boy?
Well, it's not a name of a rap group, but instead.
Oh, wow.
We're the Badger Boys. We're here from Milwaukee.
Oh, my
gosh. Here to something, something. This don't drink sake. Yeah, I know. It's going to be horrible.
Wow.
Yeah, you try to rhyme with Milwaukee other than the fact that. Yeah. Other than the fact there is a city nearby called Pewaukee. That would have been too easy, right?
Yes.
So Badger Boys was something the American Legion sponsored every summer for high school juniors becoming seniors, where about 1,000 boys would go to. There were separately Badger Girls held somewhere else, of course. Otherwise, it would be just Badger Mayhem. but the Badger Boys, you learn about local government all the way up to governor. In a sense, you elect your alderman, your mayor, local county of folks, and then someone runs for governor. So it's a lot of fun. And along the way, you learn how government is structured, what government's supposed to do, which, of course, we tend to forget about, you know, because you don't know. You don't really know unless you kind of experience the idea of what's the purpose of a local government. What's the purpose of a county-level government? What's the purpose of a state government and legislature? So get involved. Run for local office. You know, one of our former financial aid people is busy being a councilwoman in a local town.
Yes.
You know,
yes, she is.
And she's not the type to be grifting or anything. So, you know, oh, she's not stealing. Yeah. So that's always good news. Just like, guess what else is good news, Dana?
The fact they were, sounds like maybe another short break.
I think another short break is right. And with that short break, we come back into the last sip, everyone. That's right. Dana and her minty.
Yes, my minty.
Get that last
sip. Gotta try it.
So, Dana, we're down to the last part of the show. Any I dare you to's for our fine folks out there?
I don't have one for today, but yeah. I will have one on Friday's.
All right.
Episode. Awesome. How about for yourself?
I'll do a quick one. I may have even done this one earlier. So like I said, you know, you should always have hobbies or things that you aspire to. So I finally just got in the new Wristwatch Annual 2021, the catalog of producers, prices, models, and specifications. on wristwatches.
Wow.
And I'm not talking about your basic Swatch watch. I'm talking about your Rolex, your Jaeger, Le Coultier.
So no Baby Shocks up in there?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Or Timex. No Timex.
No. Tissot is in here, maybe.
Oh, okay.
MB&F, which is Maximilian Bouzère and Friends. He makes very space-age watches.
Now, what's the most expensive watch in the catalog?
Well, my guess is, now there may be like $1 million one in here somewhere. And again, these are new watches. These are all the new ones for the year. Mm-hmm. But usually pretty close to the top is a brand that I really love because they are very, very beautiful watches called Grubel Forzi. And I'm showing Dana a little bit of what they look like. Their top one, which has a lot of complications. So like that means like it tells time in multiple zones. It has maybe a perpetual calendar that keeps the correct date for multiple years. This one is marked as 670,000 Swiss francs or whatever.
Ooh, the
Swiss, which I equates wonder- to probably about $700,000 to $800,000.
Okay.
So that might be very close to the most expensive one in here. Theirs usually tend to run in the $500,000 to $600,000 range. So,
and I'm pretty sure those are like limited numbers that they
absolutely
make.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because if you ever bought one of those watches of theirs, and they have some very nice ones. They got one with a little globe on it that spins as the time goes by. You would never want to run into someone else that had the same one. I mean, that's the world of exclusivity you are looking for.
Yes.
In that kind of watch. Whereas if you wear a Timex or a Swatch watch, mm-hmm. or a, like you said, a baby G.
A G-Shock, yeah.
You know, and I've got regular G-Shocks. Seeing someone else with the exact same one of yours, could happen. It could happen, people. No doubt. Well, Dana, we're going to save you then till Friday with your I Dare You To.
Yeah, because I got a good one, too.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we got a guest coming up. So, or two. But we're not going to... Let's not talk more about this. We'll save it for Friday, everyone. So, Dana, we've ran out of time. There's always the next show. But I do want to thank you for joining us today on What's Brewing CISWA. And, of course, thank our audience for tuning in.
And, everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
Find this and all What's Brewing CISWA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISWA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 93, recorded the morning of Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.